the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Gwen, and thanks to Ian. Ian spent a considerable amount of time through this week, hours. I don't know that he kept track of them or counted them, but there was a lot that he spent here making sure that all of our sound equipment was working and functioning. We had some challenges with it at 11 o'clock last week and several weeks ago, so I think we're on the way forward to all that, and thank you, Ian, for that. Well, you know, we've been singing about it, telling stories about it with the children marching up and down, the reading that Gwen had here from Matthew's gospel. All of this tells the story of the moment that the people in that time had been waiting for. They'd been longing for it, yearning for it. It was at the depth of their lives, rising up constantly. And Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they took their garments. And as I said to the children, they likely only had one, but they were overjoyed to be able to give that to him. In fact, to give it up was nothing for them, because this they'd been waiting for. This, even their ancestors had been waiting for. It was all worth it to celebrate what they saw as happening. It was the coming of the rescuer, the one who would deliver them, the one who would restore and throw out the Roman oppression that they were suffering. This was the promised one. This was the Messiah. You see, they'd lived under the yoke of this Roman oppression for decades. Their diet was anger and tears and frustration. It was constantly this cloud, a black cloud hanging over them, you know, day and night, 24/7. And now, right before their very eyes, was this one that they'd been praying to God for. This was the one who was going to come, and he was going to give the 1-2 punch to the emperor, and they'd be free. This one riding into Jerusalem. You know, he was the impossible dream that they had. Here was the king coming, and so it's why they waved their palm branches, why they threw their coats down. It's why they gave him the honor. It's why they gave him the praise and showed him the respect. Here was Messiah entering Jerusalem to bring in God's new day. The only problem with it all was that it wasn't nearly as clear-cut and straightforward as they thought, because Jesus wasn't coming into Jerusalem to be enthroned as a conquering king. He was the one coming into Jerusalem who, within the week, was going to die. They didn't get that. What they didn't see, what they didn't understand, is that Jesus was coming to hang on a cross. Now, over the years, I have given encouragement for you to pray the shortest prayer that I know. It's a good prayer, and that prayer is help. Now, God responds to that prayer. God answers prayers like that. It's the kind of prayer that the people leading up to this day with Jesus coming into Jerusalem, it's the kind of prayer they had prayed. God, help. Help us. This is a crisis. This is an emergency. God, you've got to come, and you've got to save us. God hears and God answers a prayer like that. But God will always do it not in the way that is the way that we try and set out for him, but in God's way. It may not be our way. There was a yes to that prayer on that day of celebration as Jesus rode into the city on that first Palm Sunday, but it was a yes that went further, went deeper, went farther than the yes the people were asking, the people were looking for. In Matthew 16 and verse 23, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, "Peter, you're seeing things merely from a human point of view. You're not seeing it from God's point of view." And that's what was going on here. The human point of view, that was all about the overthrow of the Roman oppression. But God's point of view was really all about the defeat, the overthrow of sin and death and evil, and the bringing in of God's new day, God's new way of living, God's new creation, the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Now, okay, take all of that, put it here, ask yourself the question, what's all that mean for us? You know, sometimes, and I wouldn't put this on you, but this is me, sometimes I've had a very shallow understanding of the ways of God. Sometimes I have looked at the Christian life as kind of like being like an investment club, okay? You put in your investment and you have, or at least you hope you have, you believe you have, a very defined rate of return, a reward that's going to come to you. So if I really invest in this thing called being a follower of Jesus, being a Christian, being part of the church, and I put my investment in here, I can expect a very defined rate of return, a reward that's going to come to me. You know, if I dig in, if I really get serious, if I do what God asks, what God expects, then I'll be safe. I'll be secure. Good things will come my way. Nothing's going to happen for me. Everything that I need in the way of health and finances and family, you know, I can simply bring it to God. I can name it, and God's going to give me a quick rescue, a quick deliverance. He's going to provide me with the kind of guarantee that I need over my life. God will help me. I'll be able to get past it, out of it, whatever it is, lickety-split, and be on my way. Now, I know that's not the way that it happens for all kinds of people, especially in other parts of the world. But that's them, and I'm me. Okay? And it'll be different for me because I'm me. And God will do it differently for me. Except, it hasn't always turned out like that for me. And when it hasn't turned out like that for me, can I tell you what I say? I don't know whether you've ever said this. God, that's not fair. Ever been there? It's not fair. I mean, I don't deserve that. I put my investment in. I deserve something better in the way of my rate of return. It's not fair. The hard time comes, and I think that, you know, that God has neglected me, you know, forsaken me, left me. He's not on the scene. You know, what's really going on there is that I'm swimming in shallow water. I'm not really in very deep water. Jesus has an answer to all of this. He says this in John 10, verse 4. It's a good thing to write down. You need a pen, I got one. Or you got your own, write this one down. John 10, 4. Referring to himself as the good shepherd, Jesus says, "I walk ahead of my sheep, and they follow me because they hear my voice." It's Palm Sunday, and Jesus walked ahead of all of us into Jerusalem. Not to be enthroned as a conquering hero, but to die within the week. What that says to me is this, that whenever I or whenever you face pain or fear or loneliness or betrayal or injustice or shame or misrepresentation or reproach, whenever that moment of anguish and agony of confusion comes for you, know this. Jesus is never going to ask you to go where he doesn't lead you. With Jesus, you're never, ever going to have to go it alone. You're never going to suffer whatever it is alone. Because Jesus, the one going into Jerusalem, he's the broken one. He's the suffering one. He's the one you recognize because he leads you with visibly scarred hands. This is the King. Through Holy Week, if ever anyone deserved to be able to say life's unfair, it would have been the one who was going into Jerusalem. If anyone, Jesus would have been the one. Yet what we'll see come next Sunday is that resurrection comes, that life comes. And here's the confidence that every one of us can have. Whenever you step into any kind of uncertain or unknown place in your life, Jesus has already been there. He's there. You're not alone. He's there. Whatever it is, I don't know where it is for you this morning, but I'm going to tell you this. The strength of Scripture, the confidence that we have in God revealed to us in Christ, that's trusted territory for you. Because Christ is there, and you can follow him. You can follow him into whatever it is as you hear his voice. I don't know the cross of life that you're going to be called by God to take up, but whatever it is, you can take it up in this confidence and trust. It could be the hardest thing. It could leave you with tears beyond your imagining, but this you can know, that Jesus walks ahead of you, and he hung on a cross for you. That's what Palm Sunday was leading to. I have a friend in Smithville. I think I mentioned this just the other week. He's a retired Presbyterian pastor. He's dying. He's in palliative care right now. I remember him in his vigorous years. He and his wife, they have four children, and they were raised to enjoy playing sports of all kind, and he taught them to excel in sports, and they certainly did. But now my friend is in bed, and he's gaunt, and he's weakened. He's on a liquid diet. The only medication he gets is to deal with the pain. When I visited him just the other week, he had C.S. Lewis's book from the Chronicles of Narnia on his night table, and he had the last book in the Chronicles, The Last Battle. And I read some of that to him. But in the book, there comes a time when one of the children, Jill, is filled with fear that something horrid is going to happen to her. Is, you know, just around the corner for her. And Tyrion, who in the book is the last king of Narnia, he whispers to her this. He says, "Courage, child. We are all between the paws of the true Aslan." Aslan being the figure of Christ. "Courage, child. We are all held between the paws of the true Aslan, of Jesus, the Christ." The American author Frederick Buechner captured what I think is the quiet confidence that we can have, knowing that we're held between the hands of God in a prayer. And he was asked to write this prayer at the request of his brother, who was dying of cancer. And here's the prayer that he wrote. "Dear Lord, bring me through darkness into light. Bring me through pain into peace. Bring me through death into life. Be with me wherever I go with everyone I love. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen." In the video that we watched, Matt Redman told the story, and I mean, I can't tell you how often I sang this song over a year or so ago. I sang this song repeatedly, but he told the story, and he sang about the one who never leaves us alone, the one who's faithful. But in the song, there are these lyrics: "Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. God, you are faithful." The the praise team can come forward. It's Palm Sunday, and Jesus entered Jerusalem to die, and so we wave the branches as we did to celebrate that. We throw down the fabric, the garments, our cloaks, our coats to honor Jesus. We sing, we shout out, we say Hosanna to the King of Kings. And the garment of our praise, as we sang earlier in the service, is that God is faithful to us. Here is what I believe the heart. You ever ask me, what's God's heart for me? Here's what I want to suggest to you is the heart of God for you this morning. It's that you would surrender your life in praise, in worship, in devotion to Jesus, who you can always recognize working in your life by the scars. By the scars. And this same Jesus is the one. This is the heart of God for you, who you can come personally to know, not just as the Lord over the scars and the struggles, but the Lord over life, all of life for you, who is leading you. By His Spirit, He's guiding you so that you can daily experience the gift of hearing His voice as He leads you and He says to you, come. This territory, you can trust me as you go through it. You can trust me with it. I've been here. You can trust me. Come and follow you. And hey, there's no guarantee against there being pain and darkness in that, but you can travel it. You can travel it in the confidence that God is faithful to you. You're not alone. That Jesus has walked all of these roads of life for you, and He's going to walk you through whatever it is you're in, whatever you will be in, into life. We're going to sing of that now in a Matt Redman song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Let's stand. The Apostle Paul once said, my friends, I am convinced that there is nothing in all of creation, neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything living on heaven and on earth that can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Give and take.
Thank Susan for leading us.